Performance is the magnificent dancing white stallions who prance, bow, roll over, and kiss their trainers. Connie Lawn, USA Radio Network News, Arlington, Virginia.
And there is more news on USARadio.com. Richard Curtis reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Born at 24 weeks and weighing just over 1 pound, little Timmy Kelly's premature birth left him blind and with little chance of ever walking. Then, his parents found help and hope at a Shriners hospital.
Timmy's life would have been drastically different without the intervention of the Shriners.
At Shriners, Timmy underwent a series of complex surgeries.
It's not just the medical quality of care, it's the whole environment that has really makes it nice.
Shriners Hospitals offers some of the world's best orthopedic, spinal cord, and burn medical care to children totally free of charge. And they combine that care with innovative teaching and progressive research programs.
Shriners create miracles, and we have one that lives with us, so we're very fortunate.
I can walk, and it's because of Shriners Hospital.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Today is Sunday. It's a Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are fair, but I think it's important to point out that today is also November 20th, 2005. 2.5 years ago today, I guess a quarter decade ago, if you will, George Bush decided to invade Iraq. And I think it's fair to say, 2.5 years later, that the war in Iraq is over. We have lost. Could someone please inform the president? You see, right now, Iraq is beginning a new war, a civil war, between its Shiites and its Sunnis. Iraq, of course, is a country designed by the British right after World War I, with no particular reverence for where people actually lived, but a clear idea for drawing straight lines between them and territories owned by the French and others. Well, now the civil war is beginning. And we find, just this week, of course, to no one's real surprise, I mean, I reported on this at least a year ago, right here on the Inside Scoop, that yes, there are torture camps. Yes, some run by America, many run by the new Shiite government where they're torturing Sunnis, and yes, they rival the torture of Saddam Hussein's prisons. In fact, many of them are the very same prisons that Saddam Hussein used. No different. No different from before, except that, of course, we've lost 2,100 American lives, hundreds of billions of dollars, tens of thousands of Americans wounded, and I mean seriously wounded, men and women working hard to defend their country, who've lost a leg or an arm or both legs, or perhaps they've lost their soul with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Yes, the war is taking its beating. And what Howard Dean had to say a year and a half ago and was roundly criticized for was, are we safer now than we were 2.5 years ago? Howard Dean said we weren't. He said, we are worse off with Saddam Hussein gone. He didn't even quite say it that way. He just said worse off with the Bush policy on Iraq than it was before. And he was roundly condemned. Everyone said, that's ridiculous. You know, Saddam Hussein was a nasty fellow. He was an awful guy. Clearly, we're better off with him gone. Well, I won't dispute that I'm glad Saddam Hussein is not in power. But are we really safer than we were 2.5 years ago today? 2.5 years ago today, Iraq was run by a stable, nasty dictator. Frankly, a dictator as nasty as some other several dozen dictators around the globe. Not the worst, by any stretch. You want to see the worst? Go to Sudan, where there are active genocides being conducted, or Liberia, where they would kill the parents of kids and then force the orphans to fight an army. That's pretty awful. He's a bad guy, no question about it. And George Bush planned, as we now know, on January 30th, 2001, to take him out. We know that because he divided up the oil fields of Iraq on a map, pointed out by Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, and was dividing up which oil company would get which. So that plan was in the works. That was done. But are we safer now than we were 2.5 years ago? Well, in terms of American lives, we're clearly not. 2,100 American men and women will never come back. How many more will die before we withdraw? I don't know. But I do know this. The withdrawal date is around the corner. Indeed, it's got to start happening by November 2006, because the American people are now solidly against this war, and even members of Congress are starting to realize the deadline is around the corner. The deadline is November 2006. But are we safer now than we were 2.5 years ago? Well, let's look at it this way. When Osama bin Laden and the Al-Qaeda terrorists murdered 3,000 Americans, I, for one, advocated a very strong attack against them. We haven't done that. No. After invading Afghanistan, we removed most of the troops there and pushed them into Iraq. Al-Qaeda is thriving. Indeed, Al-Qaeda is getting the one thing in Iraq it never had while Saddam Hussein was in power, a foothold to do its horrible, audacious acts. I hope Zarqawi is dead. I hope we've captured him, but it won't change. It won't change the calculus that Iraq was no threat to America. Not a major threat in any sense. More like maybe a bee that buzzes around while your arm's on fire. Here is my concern. Not only have we created a terrorist state in Iraq where one didn't exist, but we are lessening the real fight, the ongoing fight, the fight that needs to be had against Al-Qaeda, against the people that murdered 3,000 Americans. Would you know that less than 10% of Americans now think fighting terrorism is a major national priority? It's all because the Bush administration kept conflating Iraq and Afghanistan, pretending that Iraq had something to do with September 11th. So now we're in the worst of both worlds. Iraq is more anarchy. Terrorism is growing there. We're involved in a civil war we don't want to be in. More and more Americans are dying. And the real threat to America, both in terms of weapons of mass destruction and Osama bin Laden, continues to grow. 877-528-TALK. Call in, agree, disagree. I want to hear from you. 877-528-8255. Comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. When we come back, I want to talk about Congressman Jack Murtha and the heroic thing he did this week.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors, in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Ah, oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. George Santayana, of course, said the famous saying that those who forget history are condemned to repeat it. And it's very clear now that America is ending its second Vietnam. How do you know that the war is over? Well, one way you know is that the Senate of the United States, controlled by Republicans, after rejecting a Democratic proposal that would require the administration to give dates of a phased withdrawal of troops, did indeed support a resolution saying that 2006 would be, quote, a period of significant transition to full Iraqi sovereignty, unquote. What does that mean? How do you know the Iraqi war is over? You know it when Senator Rick Santorum, I mean, crazy right-winger, right? Far religious right-wing, someone who was determined to support the Iraq war from the beginning to the end. When George Bush comes to his state of Pennsylvania to deliver a speech on Veterans Day, and he's 100 miles away, when he himself is saying that maybe there were some mistakes made, and voting for the resolution to transfer Iraq to Iraqi sovereignty. But perhaps nowhere is it clearer that the Iraqi war is over. The only question will be how many more Americans will die before we leave. That question has yet to be answered, folks. But you know it's over when you see Congressman John Murtha say that our troops have done the best they can and it's time to leave. Who's Jack Murtha? Well, he spent 37 years in the military. He won 2 Purple Hearts, a Bronze Star with a Combat V, the Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry, and he's a Democratic congressman from Pennsylvania. Now, this is not a congressman from the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. No, this is a guy who I would disagree with in many instances. He supported, for example, our conflicts in Central America. Big supporter of the Persian Gulf War. But he said, in effect, it's time to move on. Our troops have done all they could. Why should Americans get involved in a civil war between Sunnis and Shiites? There are all kinds of civil wars in the world. Why are we sticking our troops in the front lines of this one? And the reaction, of course, was for a number of people who've never served in the military to call Jack Murtha a coward. They used the language the Bush administration always uses when you attack their policies. Speaker Dennis Hastert, never served in the military, of course, called Murtha, said that Murtha delivered the highest insult to our troops. We must not cower. Roy Blunt, head of the Republican Party in the House, said that it emboldens our enemies. J.D. Hayworth, also never served, said the American people are made of sterner stuff. They called him a coward. They did. And don't get me wrong, you certainly don't have to serve in this country to take a position on U.S. policy. But to call a man who is trying to save American lives a coward is itself cowardly. We live in a democracy. There is only one way to stop a mistake, and that is to speak out against it. And I think there's nothing more cowardly than to be afraid of realizing you made a mistake. This is exactly the case in Vietnam. The way you hear some people who support the Iraqi war talk about Vietnam, they wish we were still there. They wish we had never left Vietnam. We should still be there. We should still be losing 100,000, 200,000 American lives. After all, their kids never had to fight. Just like their kids never have to fight in Iraq. And as recruitment levels are going down, 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 they're not reaching their goals, folks. We're having increasing difficulty even getting the poor. The cannon fodder. The kind of people who normally fight the wars. I mean, we know Dick Cheney, Mr. Five Deferments, right? And we know that George Bush, who couldn't even show up for National Guard duty, that they weren't going to fight these wars. But they're not sending their kids to fight these wars either. No, they're sending poor Americans to fight. And now even they don't want to fight and die for a war where $9 billion is missing. Do you know that, folks? $9 billion, we can't place. We don't know where it went. I'll tell you where it went, folks. Here's the inside scoop. It went to pay off Iraqi politicians, to grease some palms, to make sure that indeed our oil companies got what they really wanted in Iraq, nice, sweet oil contracts. It went to grease those palms, and the one group that is doing better, folks, you have to be pleased, I guess, if you're an Exxon shareholder, because they are doing very well. It's just the rest of us that are in trouble. And Osama bin Laden also doing quite well. There are people who have benefited from the war in Iraq. But why is it that anyone who's opposed to the president is called a coward? How do you change a mistake? If we were to invade Canada on the grounds that, oops, Canada has weapons of mass destruction and is planning to nuke us, and we invade and we find out that we're wrong, would it be wrong to cut and run, to change your mind? When you go into war based on a lie, and you find out that it is a lie, even if it was incompetence, and I don't think it was, folks. We all know it was manipulation of intelligence. But even if it was incompetence, if you go into war on a lie and you find out that your whole rationale for being there, weapons of mass destruction isn't there, if the rationale is democracy and you find out that the people that are there are still continuing the tortures and abuse of Saddam Hussein, when do you leave? Is it always wrong to end a war? I would argue to the contrary, that it's never wrong to end a war. And if you can't achieve your goals, then what the heck are we fighting for? 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. You can also comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. When we come back, I'll be reading some of your comments right here on the Inside Scoop.
I'm sure you've heard the saying, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. Margie Garrison was at the end of her rope. At the young age of 28, she was told she would be in a wheelchair in about 5 years. And then, when she just couldn't go on any longer, she met a doctor who said to her, "Margie, arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." Now, can you imagine Margie's joy after 43 years and thousands of dollars of doctor bills and pain medications that didn't work? Learn the whole story online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up online for yourself at HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com, and find out if what worked for Margie Garrison will work for you.
They're always talking about the number of people without health insurance, but what about those without dental coverage? If you're self-employed, retired, or your employer just doesn't provide dental insurance, there is an $11.95 a month solution that saves you up to 30, 50, and even 60% on dental services. And because this isn't insurance, there are no turndowns, no claim forms, no waiting periods, no runaround. And this nationwide program covers cleaning, restorations, and cosmetic dentistry. Get the whole story online. You don't have to talk to anyone if you don't want to. There's even a form to email to get a list of all the providers in your area. Go to www.1195dental.com. You type in the numbers 1195 followed by the word dental, D-E-N-T-A-L.com. 1195dental.com is here to help. And check out our low prices for family memberships.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. If you ever wanted to understand the difference between the two parties on Iraq, nowhere was it clearer than in the case of John Murtha, Congressman of Pennsylvania, who, after reading his 7-page statement arguing that the American troops have done the best they can, it's time for them to come home, he described an Iraq war vet, actually several of them, wounded, but one particularly was a father who was stroking the hand of his comatose son, and a soldier who lost both his hands, but couldn't get a Purple Heart, the Army told him, because he had gotten hurt in friendly fire. Murtha, and this is an old battle-scarred Marine veteran, he choked up. I don't know if you saw that speech. It was amazing. He choked up. He had a hard time finishing his speech. He said, "I met with the commandant, and I told him, if you don't give him a Purple Heart," the president's response, put out by his press secretary, quote, "John Murtha has endorsed Michael Moore in the extreme liberal wing of the Democratic Party. His stance is a surrender to the terrorists." Here's the difference between the party, folks, the parties. The Democrats are having difficulty. They realize we got into this war on a mistake, on a lie, on George Bush giving false intelligence to the Senate and then voting on it. Many Democrats voted for the war. Most voted against. Some voted for. They realize a mistake was made, and they're struggling to figure out the best way out. Even Jack Murtha didn't call for us to leave tomorrow. He called for a drawdown in U.S. troops in a way to say, give the Iraqis their best chance of going forward, knowing that they may not succeed no matter how long we're there. They're working out ways to extricate us from this war. Compare that to the Republicans. What did they do? They said, oh, you want to get out of war, huh? So they put through not the Democratic motion, not Jack Murtha's bill. They put through a bill that said, oh, get out of everywhere tomorrow. Let's put that to a vote. And the House and Nancy Pelosi was absolutely right to say, you know, this isn't a real bill, this isn't a real solution, this is just politics. And everyone voted against it. You see, that's the difference, folks. The Democrats are trying to find the way out of this war, and the Republicans are trying to use that tortured way of a policymaker recognizing there is no good solution here, trying to get us out, and they decided, we'll play politics with it. We'll call them surrendering to the terrorists. We'll put up stupid motions that everyone won't support instead of actually working through the difficult task of finding the best way out of this war. 877-528-TALK. Let me go to Jack in San Diego. Jack, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Yeah, you know, I heard him tell that story about the soldier that lost his hands and was also blinded.
Right.
And I'd like your listeners who happen to be the ones that are Bush supporters and the ones that scream the loudest to stay the course, the ones that are the warmongers, try to operate just for 1 hour out of your day without being able to use your hands, or to go around for 1 hour without the use of your eyes. Blindfold yourself and try it. And then I want you to tell me why you won't enlist. Why are you sending somebody else in your place? You guys on the right that scream for this war, you're the real cowards. You're the hypocrites.
You know, what gets me, Jack, is when they say the worst thing we could do to our troops is to criticize the president's conduct of the war, that harms our troops more than anything. It, quote, emboldens our enemies. It's a surrender. You know what hurts our troops more than anything? Losing their hands, becoming blinded, fighting a war with no goal, no exit strategy, based on lies. I think they want to go home. And the idea that
50 years later, we've got a military presence in Japan and Germany and Korea. And isn't the real question, is that what's planned for the Middle East, that we're going to have a military presence there 50 years from now?
Yes, with one major difference.
Pat Buchanan posed the real question. We have to decide in this country whether we're a republic or an empire. Now, I have to tell you, one of the major side effects of this global economy is now almost any place, anywhere, becomes in our national interest. And we're going broke playing the world's policeman. And, you know, that was pretty much what caused the downfall of the Roman Empire. They just basically overextended themselves militarily, and they went broke.
And, Jack, there's one major difference. After Japan and Germany and Korea, we had troops there, but the hostilities ended. They were there to keep the peace because there was peace after the war was over. Here's the difference. This isn't a case of an occupying military after a war is over. This is a case of a war that is continuing and will keep continuing until the Shiites and the Sunnis battle and one of them takes over the country. And the thing that I don't understand is why we want to be involved in this tribal warfare. As far as I'm concerned, let the Kurds, the northern part that's relatively peaceful, they have oil, let them secede, let them be their own country. I'd even support them because they support us. The rest, let's leave. Why are we there? 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
This is Newsbreak. In response to critics of the war in Iraq, President Bush saying prematurely withdrawing forces from the Gulf state would have terrible consequences. He spoke during his visit in Beijing today, answering Democratic Congressman John Murtha's call to immediately pull troops from Iraq. The president saying the move would allow the terrorists to grow stronger. Reports out of Iraq indicate that terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi may have been among those killed in a U.S. military strike. Those reports not yet confirmed. Israel's government is on the cusp of a major change after a vote by Israel's Labor Party. The party has voted to quit the coalition government of Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon ahead of early elections. Sharon's confidants say that they believe he is considering leaving his Likud party to form a centrist party. Several people have been wounded in a mall shooting in Tacoma, Washington. Officials say at least five people have been transported from the Tacoma Mall to area hospitals. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
For the NASD Money Minute, I'm Randy Gardner. After the stock market's downturn in 2001, many investors turned to the bond market for more stable investments. Baby boomers preparing for retirement are doing the same. Today, two out of three corporate bond transactions are carried out by individual investors. But do they know what they're doing? Robert Glauber is chairman of NASD, the private sector securities regulator.
Our research shows that investors know far too little about how bonds and bond markets work. The majority of investors don't understand the fundamentals.
To help investors navigate the bond market, NASD has launched a comprehensive online smart bond learning center. To help investors gauge how their own bond portfolios are performing, NASD and Bloomberg have developed the first daily corporate bond indexes aimed at retail investors, which cover investment grade and high yield bonds. And to make the bond market completely transparent, NASD posts all over-the-counter corporate bond transactions on its website in real time, free of charge. For more information, visit NASD.
A team from Boston's Children's Hospital found that high cholesterol levels cause prostate cancer cells in mice to grow, and the cholesterol-lowering statin drugs inhibit prostate cancer growth. Prostate cancer is rare in places such as rural China and Japan, where the diet is low in cholesterol, and it's high in high cholesterol areas. When people migrate from low to high cholesterol regions, they increase their risk for prostate cancer. Researchers injected human prostate cancer cells into mice. Animals fed high cholesterol diets had cholesterol accumulate in the outer membranes of tumors. 6 weeks after tumor cells were injected into mice, those on a high cholesterol diet had twice as many and larger tumors compared to those on low cholesterol diets. Giving statin drugs to mice on a high cholesterol diet stops tumors from growing. This study was done in mice, not humans. I'm Dr. Gabe Merkin.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Sunday Weekly Review right here on the Inside Scoop. There are a lot of things to talk about, not just the war in Iraq. You might want to discuss how at PBS, Public Broadcasting, you had Ken Tomlinson, the presidential appointee, actively try to work to make PBS into a Republican-leaning institution. Repeatedly violated the law, folks. A law that said that PBS is not supposed to favor one side or the other. That's been proven now, and he's been forced to step down to, I think, very little public scrutiny. Why aren't people focusing on this clear attempt to make one more propaganda channel out of PBS? Isn't the Fox propaganda channel enough? Or perhaps you want to talk about Plan B, the morning after contraception drug, and how it is that the FDA has put aside all scientific evidence Even the government accounting office found that. They put aside all scientific evidence in order to reject it for political reasons. Or you could talk about the fact that the Justice Department demoted a statistician who worked there for 23 years because the statistician refused to withhold data about racial profiling by police officers. He didn't want to withhold the data. So they fired this 23-year veteran. Of course, there's what happened back in 03 where you had the Medicare actuary, Richard Foster. Remember him? Probably not. He's the guy that started to talk about the cost of the prescription drug bill. This is an actuary. This is a bean counter, an accountant. He sits there and he says, oh, what's the cost? It's going to be about $600 billion. But the administration was telling Congress it was $400 billion. And he was told if he told Congress the truth, he would lose his job. And so he didn't. And they voted for the bill that's just come into effect this year, by the way, folks. The pharmaceutical companies have been paid for the last 2 years. Finally, America's seniors can, some of them, go through an incredible bureaucratic morass and get some drugs. But it's going to cost a lot more than they said it would. And that vote itself is interesting because if you remember how it occurred, like so many votes that occur in Congress these days, they lost the vote. The Republican drug bill was going down in flames. And instead, they held it past the deadline all through the night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., till they finally twisted enough arms, gave away enough pork to get the members to switch their votes so they could win by one vote. There's no question that had that actuary told the truth to Congress, that bill would not have passed. So what do all these things have in common? What they have in common is an administration that is hostile to truth, that hates truth if it gets in the way of their politics. This is an administration that has always put the politics ahead of truth. And therefore, any civil servant, anyone working in government, anyone who has the audacity to tell the truth to the American people if it conflicts with their politics is kicked out. Paul O'Neill, Treasury Secretary, Richard Clark, counterterrorism czar, Joe Wilson, one right after the other. The one thing this administration hates more than anything else is truth, because it keeps interfering with their politics. And so now we have a recent example of this, one of my favorites. Remember, we went to war in Iraq ostensibly because of weapons of mass destruction, because Saddam Hussein had gassed the Kurds using chemical weapons. That's why one of the main reasons we went to war in Iraq. Scratch any Republican, ask him why he went to war in Iraq. He'll say, oh, because the Iraqs gassed the Kurds. Not mentioning, of course, that we gave them those chemical weapons and that Ronald Reagan and George Bush actually supported Saddam Hussein when he was killing Kurds near the Iranian border, near the Iraq war. So what happened now when it was reported in England and Italy? By reputable newspapers, folks, the Independent of London, Italy's Rai News, it hasn't been reported widely here yet that our troops have been using white phosphorus, a chemical weapons. Well, our military spokesperson responded. He said, these reports are not true, he said. Had your correspondents acted responsibly, he wrote to the Italian press, they could have checked with the U.S. Embassy, the Department of Defense, they would have learned it was false. And besides, phosphorus, it's not such a bad thing. I mean, it's used for smoke screens and target marking. And even if we had used it, it wouldn't be a bad thing because it really can't really hurt anyone. Of course, he had a problem because the Pentagon spokesman the exact same day conceded that, yes, white phosphorus was used in the fighting in Fallujah. And it was used as an incendiary weapon, meaning it started fires. And that a number of civilians were killed, though of course they weren't targeted. Frankly, the whole defense reminds me of that classic lawyer joke where the guy is defending his client who's accused of taking his neighbor's car and returning it with a huge dent. And he says, you know, my client never took that car. Never took that car. That's preposterous. And number two, he returned the car in absolute, complete good condition. And Number three, it had the large dent in it when he took it out. Our government lies are so preposterous. that they conflict with each other. Number one, we never used white phosphorus. And number two, even if we did, it wasn't used in a way that could harm civilians. And number three, even though it harmed civilians, it wasn't intentionally so. And yet, this is just put out there. It's a joke, and it's put out there as if it can be believed. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Let's go to Steve in Encinitas. Steve, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm calling. I was watching C-SPAN. Actually, it was MSNBC the other night, and there was a gentleman by the name is a professor from BYU.
Okay.
By the name of Stephen Jones.
Okay.
And he was talking about the inside scoop on the demolition of the World Trade Center, and he has a hypothesis that says that he thinks that those towers came down from explosives. And I've been following this. Some stories on this for a while, and I was wondering what your take on is on that, and how come more people aren't talking about that possibility.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Steve. A number of people have raised this on my show before, and I guess I don't buy it. Is my honest answer. It's my goal to report stories that I feel I can confirm, that I have a reputable source. I've looked into it. It's not that I haven't looked into it, Steve. In fact, I've done several shows. If you go to my broadcast archive at RadioInsideScoop.com, I've let these people who believe this, they've come, they've made their pitch. I don't buy it. I don't really, frankly, understand the claim. I mean, people saw planes hit the World Trade Center, and unless the argument is that the Bush administration also plotted the terrorists who took over the planes, who went in, and I just don't get it, frankly. I mean, I understand that they fell. I've seen the engineering arguments. But what's the point, Steve? What's the argument?
Finding the truth is the point. And if you look at the videos...
Right, I've seen them.
It looks very similar to a demolition. And why would so many people be coming out like... this guy David Ray Griffiths and this other guy from BYU. I mean, he's got a lot to lose.
Yeah, Steve,
come out and say that overwhelming evidence shows that there's no way that these buildings could come down from fire.
Steve, I had David Ray Griffin on the show. I mean, I have not run from this question. You can go to my broadcast archive, check it out. And again, I'm not asking you to agree with me. That's your right to agree or disagree with me. But I gave him a forum on my show. Like I say, go to RadioInsideScoop.com, click on the broadcast archive, do a search for David Ray Griffin. He was on my show. I'm not convinced it's true. And and you can hear a longer discussion on what he said, and I gave him a full chance, and why I'm not convinced it's true. But to me, there are so many things that it is absolutely proven that this administration has done, namely planning to go to war in Iraq back January 30th, 2001. There's actually the document. We have the document. Paul O'Neill brought it out, dividing Iraq into various oil fields. Or, for example, manipulating intelligence. We know that the National Intelligence Estimate of 2001 barely mentioned Saddam Hussein. He was considered not very important. And then they created one in 2002 where, what did they do? They put all the cherry-picked intelligence, anything that could possibly support an attack on Saddam Hussein right up in the front, and the rest they put in the classified section.
I agree with following the stories that you have solid proof on, and
right.
I think that this is just something that I think it's good just to plant some seeds and just talk about it once in a while on your show.
Okay, fair enough, Steve. I'll tell you this. If I were convinced...
If you look at how many people have come out with books, there haven't been any rebuttal books that have been any significantly written rebuttal books on this. So that makes me think even more. Like, how come people aren't writing books saying, "Oh, that couldn't be true"? Because it just there's about six or seven books that I guess the Zogby poll said in New York City. There's about 43% of the people there believe that at the very least this administration turned their head and allowed 9/11 to happen.
That's actually a separate issue. Just so we're clear, there's a different issue between planting bombs, which I don't think they did, as awful as I think they are, and allowing it to occur. I happen to believe, and I've reported on this show, in fact, that they had intelligence to say that it was going to occur, and that they didn't do it, that they didn't have the translators to do it. That I've reported before. I think the answer, Steve, is there's an article in Popular Mechanics that debunks some of these, and There's also, if you go to the Wikipedia, actually, people around the country have done some of this. So take a look at it.
Okay.
But like I said, I'm not convinced, but that doesn't mean I can't be at some point in the future. 877.
All right, thanks for your call.
Thank you. 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
Is the burden of large credit card debt getting too heavy for you to carry alone? Call Debt Relief of America. They are expert debt negotiators that go to work for you to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
Within 3 months, I was debt-free and the collection hassle stopped.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
My wife and I both feel Debt Relief of America is a godsend.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. You will get a step-by-step plan on how Debt Relief of America can help you wipe out up to 60% of your credit card bills. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call now for your free copy of Dr. Katz's Bad Breath Bible. Plus, you can receive a free kit of his clinical formulas proven to eliminate occasional or chronic bad breath. Call now for your free kit. 1-800-603-3027. 800-603-3027. That's 800-603-3027.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. As the American public is now solidly against the war in Iraq, the question is, when are we going to leave? How many times will the administration call those opposed to continuing to be part of the Iraqi civil war? How long will they call us cowards? How long will they say we're surrendering to terrorists? How long will they talk about us cutting and running? It's not just that it's offensive, folks. It is offensive, of course, to say to an American who doesn't want to send more Americans to die there, and remember, the policymakers that sent our boys and girls to war in Iraq, their kids aren't gone. It's not only offensive, it's actually dangerous. Because there are, I think, wars we need to fight. I'm not a pacifist. There are dangers out there. North Korea, Iran are developing nuclear weapons. Saddam Hussein is gone, but Osama bin Laden is still around, actively causing trouble. There are terrorist groups all across the world, folks, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan. And the question is, when are we going to actually fight terror and the people causing it rather than trying to create oil for oil companies? You see, it's not just harmful in terms of our political discourse. It actually makes us weaker as we create an Iraq that is becoming an anarchy. Here we have a state where no one's in control except people like Zarqawi. And frankly, it's not really him. It's local people who just want us gone. We are giving, with our torture chambers and the Shiite torture chambers, we are the fuel of terrorism. We're causing more people to be angry at us at the same time as we're weakening American will to fight the people that really do matter. 877-528-TALK. Let me go to Pat in Carlsbad. Pat, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. You're on the air.
Great. Just wanted to bring up why the Republicans keep beating us in elections when we think, you know, like we should have it or could have it. And I think it could be a chess match where maybe they developed a little higher strategy.
Okay.
Point being, I think they're combining the Electoral College with their ability through legislation to wipe out various industries, you know, the car industry, steel, textile, oil. Like, I was in the South in the 80s. It was a depression down there for 10 years. Well, you move a lot of people out of that part of the country, so I think they're gerrymandering by destroying jobs and making people move to big cities where there's already a lot of Democrats.
Well, and it's an interesting point. I do think that if you look, you'll see that rural America, of course, has become far more Republican over the last 30, 40, 50 years. But, you know, and some of this may be by accident, but what we know they're doing on purpose is gerrymandering. We know that they are taking states. Florida is the clearest example. I've mentioned this on the show before. Florida is a state that we all know is about 50-50, Democratic and Republican. We know it from their senators. We know it from the election of 2000. And yet three-quarters of the representatives are Republican. The same is true in Pennsylvania. Texas may be Republican, but it's not as Republican as they've gerrymandered the borders, you know, splitting Austin into five sections. So they are very much using district lines. And it's interesting, if you look at the Al Gore election, as I have, in 2000, when Al Gore won the presidency and got the majority of the American popular vote, and also the majority in Florida, but that's another issue. When he did that, he only won 42% of congressional districts. Because you'll find that he won Democratic districts 80-90%. But then he would barely lose in other districts that they drew for Republicans, 60-40. And so the Republicans, merely by drawing district boundaries, are able to increase their holdings in the House, which is why we will need to win at least 55%, maybe even 58%, in order to take over the House in 2006.
I think with the you know, destroying whole industries and move, I think they're gerrymandering on a national scale. You know, not just within the states, but whole states or whole populaces being forced to move. And even like when the jobs go bad on the East Coast, guys go down to Florida, it's a right to work state. They don't stay because wages are so low and there's so many immigrants. They move somewhere else. Florida's a swing state. There it goes, just like you said.
Well, I agree with everything you're saying as a fact, the fact that it's actually happening. Whether or not that's part of their plan, I don't know. But it's clear that it is going on and that we are, you know, sort of shoveling certain people into cities and other people into rural areas. I think the Democrats need to take back rural America. And I think that rural America is really hurting. They're hurting because of the economy, which is making, you know, the super rich richer, and poor people are struggling even harder, even in rural America, and also because rural America sends so many of our soldiers and sailors out to fight the war in Iraq. So we definitely need to reclaim those areas, and I think part of the way they do it is through the religious rhetoric, and I think the Democrats need to win that back, too. We did some of it, I think, in the governor's race in Virginia.
Well, after 10 years in Texas, I mean, it's just like shock and awe. Financial shock and awe. After 10 years of being in a depression, those people all of a sudden out on oil rigs, you're seeing these hard-bitten roughnecks. I mean, that's their job title, roughnecks. They're having these ultra-right religious meetings. It was obvious that's why they did it. So it has returned to extreme religious.
Well, Pat, I thank you for your call. I think, again, religion is being used to divide us, but the war in Iraq, ironically, is bringing us back together. We'll be right back after this.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. E. Mord, that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1, 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
Daddy, why is the sky blue?
Well, because Mother Nature wanted to match your pretty little eyes.
Nope, not even close. See, all colors have wavelengths that are diffused by oxygen and nitrogen. Since blue has the shortest wavelength, it's diffused up to 10 times more. So the human eye sees more of it than any other color. That's why the sky looks blue, Daddy.
Who in the world taught you that?
Mommy.
By sixth grade, too many girls lose interest in math and science. And in just a few short years, almost all of the jobs they'll want will depend on having these skills. So keep her interest alive any way you can.
Daddy, do you know why the concept of odd and even is a philosophical illusion?
Why don't you tell me?
For more information and ideas, visit www.girlsgotech.org. Remember, it's her future. Do the math. A public service message brought to you by Girl Scouts of the USA and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. War tacticians will tell you that the best way to determine who is going to win a war, or at least where a war is building on one side or another, is to look at recruitment. And you will see, in America, recruitment is down, way down. Nobody wants to fight this war in Iraq. No one seems to understand what we're fighting for. Americans do not want to fight and die there, and clearly our leaders, the same ones who avoided military service themselves, they're not going there, and they're not sending their kids there. But in Iraq, recruitment is growing. And they're natives, folks. A recent report showed that less than 5% of the people fighting us in Iraq come from outside. This is not Al-Qaeda, though they are starting to get a foothold, admittedly, they didn't have before. It's mostly Iraqis that say, you know what, America, go home. Some are saying, thank you, now go home. Others are saying, screw you, now go home. But they want us out of their country. And the question is, why are we there? Now, I realize, and I did a show on this last Wednesday, the oil companies are making huge profits. But apart from the huge profits of the oil companies, can someone please explain to me why we're still in Iraq? 877-528-TALK. Let me go to Thomas. Thomas, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, sir. Well, my opinion is, basically, we are over there for oil, and Bush's dad, his ego, just could not stand being slap-faced Saddam Hussein.
Well, I do think there's a lot of ego involved here. I mean, there's no question this is an administration that planned the war long ago, and but oil, of course, is the reason. I mean, companies
absolutely
are making...
But we're going to lose on it anyways. I'm going to lose a lot of my friends, a lot of young men, a lot of young ladies that are supposed to have excellent lives. For what?
Well, I'll tell you this. The thing that I guess surprised me the most is how audaciously the administration is keeping up their lies on this. Perhaps the clearest example is Ahmed Chalabi. I mean, here's this guy. He's the deputy prime minister. He's the head of the Energy Council. He's making hundreds of millions of dollars from these oil contracts. This is the same guy that lied to us about weapons of mass destruction. Said that they were absolutely there, said it publicly, said it with his defectors, and it was just false. This is the same guy who's feeding our intelligence to Iran. The same guy we paid $39 million to, we taxpayers, and he's in control.
Yep, well, you're correct 100% on that. I'm just sorry because I'm a Vietnam vet.
Yeah.
I paid a lot of price.
Yep.
I paid my price. And look at these young men and young women who are out there losing life from what?
Yeah.
A lying little SOB. Trust me, I'm being very polite as I can. I would love to say I...
You know, Thomas, part of it, I think, is people want to believe they're fighting for something, and I don't blame them. I, for one, would not want to be in a war where I'm shot at, where I have to worry about little kids in the street who might, you know, throw something at me, or if I fight back, I might harm a little kid, right? I mean, that must have been exactly how Vietnam was. And yet,
the same damn thing as Vietnam. You go down the street, you look at a kid, the kid could be taken
right.
Either a mango or a hand grenade.
Right. And we don't know what we're fighting for. What are we fighting for? It's just not clear. Hey, Thomas, thank you for your call. One more thing about Ahmed Chalabi, folks. He was in Washington this week, and he met with Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, Vice President Dick Cheney, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley. He met with the Treasury Secretary. He met with all these people. And guess how many of these meetings were open to the public? Answer, zero. Why is the White House continuing to meet with a guy who lied to us about weapons of mass destruction and is busy funneling our intelligence to Iran despite the fact that we paid him $39 million. What's the answer?
The answer is they need Chalabi, because he's the only one willing to carry the administration spin. He's the only one willing to lie to the American public in order to profit from oil. A lot of people in the U.S. will do that, but only Ahmed Chalabi in Iraq and a few others will do it for them. We'll be right back with the next hour of The Inside Scoop.
What do you think of when you see a Shriner? Their unique red hat? Their colorful parades? What about helping kids?
I think a lot of people think the Shriner guys have circuses and drive around in go-karts or whatever. But I don't think the nation quite gets it. You get it when you come here, though.
Shriners Hospitals provide children with some of the world's best orthopedic, burn, and spinal cord injury medical care. And they combine that care with progressive teaching and world-class research. Would it get any better? Actually, it does, because the Shriners provide their expert medical care to children totally without charge. Sure, the Shriners have a lot of fun, but helping kids is a part of that fun. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
USA Radio Network News. I'm Jack DeRate reporting. Fox News reporting in Iraq that terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi may be among those terrorists killed in a U.S. military raid on a house. Eight terrorists died there. One of those, again, maybe Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. ID efforts are currently underway. President Bush took on his Iraq war critics in a news conference in Beijing today, responding to a call by Pennsylvania Democratic Congressman John Murtha to immediately withdraw American troops from Iraq. The president explaining why such a move just won't work.
They want to break our will in Iraq so that we leave and they can turn Iraq into what Afghanistan was under the Taliban. A safe haven for terror. A place where they can plot and plan attacks against America and freedom-loving countries around the world.
The president had a productive stop in China during his Asian tour. USA senior White House correspondent Connie Lon reports.
President Bush took a principled stand on China. He pressed the harsh Chinese leaders on religious freedom, human rights, and more open trade practices. He outlined his sincerity by visiting a Protestant church with his wife. Only five such Christian churches are sanctioned in China. President Bush won only vague promises on his request from Chinese President Hu. The president said it was tough.
USA Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL is a marvelous cleaning machine, and it's so light it's a pleasure to use. It outperforms vacuums weighing three times as much, and it's so sanitary it won't spew a cloud of dust back in your face the way those other bagless vacuums do. And to keep it running like new, we'll give you three free annual tune-ups. Try my amazing 8-pound Orrick XL, risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
I'm here with two adorable 5-year-olds.
Hi.
Chances are that one of them doesn't get the calcium they need for optimal bone growth. In fact, 50% of kids don't get enough calcium. That's why Nesquik is one of the best choices you can make for your kids.
Wow, Nesquik? Can I have a glass?
Especially fortified with vitamins, minerals, and 33% more calcium than milk alone. It's the delicious way to help them get what they need. Nestle Nesquik, helping build strong bones for life.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld downplaying remarks calling for the withdrawal of troops from Iraq. Rumsfeld telling CNN's Late Edition that Representative John Murtha's comments are similar to those made in debates over previous conflicts like World War II and the wars in Korea and Vietnam.
If you put yourself in the shoes of the terrorists, if they get to believe that all they have to do is wait because we're going to pull out precipitously, then something enormously valuable has been lost.
Meantime, Israel's government is perhaps on the verge of a big change after a vote by Israel's Labor Party. The party has voted to acquit the coalition government of Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon ahead of early elections. Sharon's confidants say they believe he is considering leaving his Likud party to form a centrist party. and several people have been wounded in a shopping mall in Tacoma, Washington. Officials say at least six people have been transported from the Tacoma Mall to area hospitals after being shot by a man who apparently opened fire around midday. USA Radio Network News.
When arthritis, muscle, or joint pain strikes, strike back with Mobisil, the most advanced topical pain reliever you can buy without a prescription. Mobisil is specially formulated to penetrate deep under the skin, where it rapidly delivers a powerful analgesic directly to the site of your pain. Mobisil's revolutionary formula is odorless, non-irritating, non-staining, and without side effects. Mobisil, rub it in and feel it work. Available at Walgreens, Eckerd, Osco, Savon, and Berkshire Brothers Pharmacies.
A top-level Canadian health official says there's no link to the deadly Asian bird flu virus in Canada, even though a duck was found to have an H5-type virus of the bird flu in British Columbia. Chief Veterinarian Officer Dr. Brian Evans says Canadians should not worry.
Canadians can rest assured that we have not detected the Asian strain of avian influenza of animal or human health concern.
Evans says that duck found on a poultry farm will be tested and the results released later this week. Tropical depression Gamma is losing organization as it meanders over the northwestern Caribbean Sea. Forecasters at the National Hurricane Center in Miami say Gamma could completely dissipate over the next 24 hours. A ceremony held today in Germany to mark the 60th anniversary of the Nuremberg trials. The trials held Nazi leaders accountable for their actions after the end of World War II. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate reporting on the USA Radio Network.
A, B, C, G, G, I can't remember.
Poor nutrition in his first 5 years can limit memory development. Get proper nutrition before it's too late. Call or visit WIC. WIC provides nutrition information, healthcare referrals, even food. To find out more, call 1-866-WIC-INFO. Your child has you, and you have WIC. Brought to you by the National WIC Association and the Ag Council.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science. But it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This hour, I want to finish our talk in Iraq. I want to read some of the comments that you folks have posted to the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. Then I'll move on and talk about PBS. Did you know that an investigation has proved what many of us have suspected, and in fact what I've reported on the Inside Scoop for more than a year now, that yes, Karl Rove and at this point Ken Tomlinson, the guy he appointed as the head of PBS, were, yes, trying to create another Fox propaganda channel out of our public broadcasting system. I also want to talk about civil rights. Our civil rights department is pretty much dead. Yes, civil rights laws are ended. Their prosecutions are not happening anymore. And there is one minority. Well, minority is perhaps the wrong word. Let's just say there's one racial group, though, that is getting some benefits out of our civil rights department. They are, what's the name of that minority? Oh, white people. Yes, white people, apparently there's too much racism against whites in America, and our government is standing up for those poor white people who are definitely abused by racism. They just aren't standing for African Americans anymore. That also includes a voter ID plan in Georgia where we would go back to the poll taxes of the 1960s. What a terrific idea Too bad the courts struck it down. I want to get to that, and I also want to talk, if I can, if there's time, about Bob Woodward and the news that came out this week that he also has a source that told him about the spy Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson's wife. First, though, I want to finish talking about Iraq, and you're welcome to call in on these topics or any topic you like. It's the Sunday Weekly Review. Pick up the phone at 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. As to the blog, G.I. Joe writes, some Republicans are banning the term coward for those who want a U.S. troop stand down from Iraq. Let's explore the true meaning of a coward. A coward is one who can't admit they made a mistake when others are dying all around them because of that mistake. Now let's talk about a myriad of mistakes and myriads of people and a man who was a combat dodger himself. That would be Dick Cheney, of course. And one who couldn't even do his sham National Guard duty because he would flunk a drug test for cocaine. That, of course, is George W. Bush. A man who talks about a total victory that cannot be achieved militarily. His victory is about another army being ready to fight for a cause it has no real allegiance to. How does our army make another army have allegiance to a cause that is alien to the Second Army's interest? An Iraqi government puppet to the United States. G.I. Joe, thank you for your comment. I think you hit it dead on here. I mean, you have to look at who the allegiance is. Who are the hearts and minds? And if you look at a guy like Zarqawi, an al-Qaeda terrorist, who, by the way, I do hope we have captured and killed today. We will find out. I don't know. There have been all kinds of reports. But look at what he did recently. He blew up a bomb in Amman, Jordan. Now, that's the kind of thing that normally would cause all normal people to act in revulsion. I mean, here he is, a Muslim, going to a wedding of a Muslim couple, innocent civilians, blew it up, killed a lot of innocent people. This is exactly the kind of thing that would turn Arabs against al-Qaeda. And therefore, you know, that's a good thing, not the attack, but the fact that people will recognize that they don't support these kinds of terrorists. But when we're in there in Iraq as an occupying force, taking the oil of Iraq to give to our oil companies and greasing a few palms like Ahmed Chalabi on the way, the hearts and minds of the people aren't ready to turn against Zarqawi because they're too angry at us. It's no wonder that out of 200,000 Iraqi troops that we think we're going to leave there to fight after we left, how many are ready to fight without U.S. support? Answer: 700, about 3.5%. After 2.5 years of war, 3.5% of Iraqis are ready to fight for the United States puppet government. 700 people in a country of tens of millions are ready to fight for the puppet government. Folks, even if we spend 2.5 years more and get another 700, that's not enough. We have Americans dying at a greater rate than we have Iraqis fighting to support the U.S. puppet government. Does no one see that Vietnam is happening exactly the same way, too? I mean, this is Vietnam all over again. Again, we have a puppet government that tortures its own citizens that we're supporting and that very few natives are supporting as well. Ginger writes, oh, not only a coward, but a big faker, too. That whole Texas cowboy shtick is made up out of whole cloth. He was fully grown when he moved to Midland, Ginger writes. Bush had grown up under the careful tutelage of whoever CIA chiefs hire to raise their kids. I heard that the ranch is actually closer to Waco than the Branch Davidian compound was. They bought the place around the time they announced his run for president. And Ginger, of course, you're absolutely right. The ranch in Crawford, when was that bought? 2000. Clearing brush? What, like the president does on vacation when he doesn't want to deal with issues like Hurricane Katrina and a war in Iraq and Cindy Sheehan? That is all fake. It's like Marie Antoinette when she went and bought some cows to milk. Did you know about this? And she brought out her golden stool and tried to milk the cows so she could be just like the people. It is all fake. And we are finally, like the Wizard of Oz, finally pulling away that curtain and seeing the little man running the government. And his name, of course, is Dick Cheney. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
Say, do you or a member of your family suffer from acne? Do you take prescription drugs and get little or no relief? Is your skin always dry and itching and peeling due to the side effects of chemicals and drugs? Do you have trouble looking in the mirror and being happy with what you see? Do you avoid going out in the world due to your acne? Are you spending ridiculous amounts of money with little or no results? Well, you may find relief. Relief is available to most sufferers online at healthstarproducts.com. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStar Products, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com. Go to www.HealthStarProducts.com and find out about the acne program. Find out if it works for you or a member of your family. If it doesn't, you get your money back.
Johnny Reese is a major league pitcher who has always had a talent for striking people out. Teams fell over themselves trying to recruit the young man with a menacing fastball. But baseball isn't his only talent. You see, he's also a major league hitman, a contract killer who likes his work. Reese can do more than strike you out. He can eliminate you altogether. Jack Kane, a retired New York City detective, has a talent of his own, catching bad guys. When it comes to murder investigations, Jack Kane is a big leaguer, too. For action and suspense, Squeeze Play by Jim Harrington is a grand slam. You can buy a Squeeze Play at all your favorite online booksellers. But for TalkStar Radio listeners, this is a special deal. Buy Squeeze Play now at a special discounted price and receive a signed autographed copy from the author. Buy yours now at yourmorning.com. Buy yours for the holidays today, yourmorning.com.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. You can also comment on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. I'm going to read one more comment, and then I want to move on and talk about PBS and civil rights in America. Of course, any topic is valid on the Sunday Weekly Review. Just call in 877-528-TALK. I want to read a comment by William Earnshaw. He writes that when the troops of the new Iraq are never ready to defend the land that is geographically theirs, and the U.S. troops are there to ensure the free flow of oil. So was this war about oil? William writes, I never feared that Saddam or his army, his navy, his air force would ever invade this country. This attempt would have been futile. I doubt he ever would have attacked the mainland USA. If this war is about oil, we are in a really sad state of affairs. You know what, William? The National Intelligence Estimate, done before the war in Iraq, said that not only did Saddam Hussein have no plans to attack the United States, he had no plans to attack our troops, including our troops in neighboring countries, including our troops in the fly zone over Iraq. And it was clear that even if we were around him, they would not attack U.S. troops, it said, and even if he had chemical weapons, and of course he didn't, we now know, but even if he had them, he would never use them unless he was invaded. So in effect, William, we gave him his best chance to use those chemical weapons that, in fact, he never had. William also mentions that his father, who was a veteran in World War II, had said he'd seen enough. I think we're seeing that, William, from people all across the country, people in the military, people like John Murtha. I think the American people are finally seeing that the war in Iraq had nothing to do with the war against terrorism, and unfortunately we're losing. And the reason we're losing is we're not fighting for anything. It's like Vietnam. I mean, it's very clear in World War II what we were fighting for. We were fighting to liberate people who wanted to be liberated from the Nazis, from the Japanese. But the people of Iraq do not want to be liberated from us. I take that back. Excuse me. They do not want to be liberated by us. They do want to be liberated from us. 877-528-TALK. Let's go to Jack. I don't know if this is a different Jack, but Jack in San Diego. Jack, are you there? I hear a lot of noise, Jack.
Yeah, are you there?
I am, but I'm afraid you're on a cell phone or something. I'm hearing too much noise.
Yeah, I'm driving. I apologize. I just wanted to say that I think that Bernstein's obvious attempt to screw up this whole indictment that's going on Scooter Libby is a really crappy thing to do.
Okay, Jack, I'm going to comment on that, but I'm going to hang up on you just because your cell phone's bringing a lot of noise in. First of all, of course, it's not Bernstein, it's Woodward. It's Bob Woodward. And what's he up to? Well, it's very interesting. Bob Woodward, of course, it just came out this week in the Washington Post that he has been hiding the fact that he also was one of the people leaked to by Scooter Libby, by high administration officials, about Valerie Plame Wilson, the wife of Ambassador Joe Wilson, who was a secret CIA operative. And what's interesting about all of this is that Bob Woodward is a guy who, of course, you know, he helped in it with the Watergate break-in. He certainly helped with his source, Deep Throat, and was certainly out at that time, 30 years ago, in exposing U.S. government complicity in a crime. Now, the caller, Jack, and I'm sorry that he's on his cell phone because I'd like to have discussed it with him more, but he's absolutely right. But he's right that Woodward now is helping to, trying to mess up the Scooter Libby investigation. Woodward never came forward throughout this entire, it's been 2 years now since Valerie Plame was outed, and he never came forward, never said, oh, yeah, they talked to me too. He was protecting his sources. But now that Libby's been indicted, now he comes forward. I've been very disappointed with Bob Woodward. His books, it's clear, have been books that have been very favorable to the Bush administration. And one of the problems with reporters is that a lot of times they can only get the best sources in the administration if they write favorable things. And so here you have Bob Woodward, a guy who cut his teeth on Watergate, on actually exposing those in government that were breaking the law, actually helping the whistleblowers. And now he's helping the government punish the whistleblowers. He's on Nixon's side now. He is helping the Bush administration spread rumors about Joe Wilson. And then the caller's right, when Libby looks like he's going down, and he's clearly going down, now Woodward's coming in his defense. Look, I've said this all along. I said this with reporter Judy Miller. There's a huge difference between protecting a whistleblower, protecting someone in the government who wants to tell you, a reporter, that something's going wrong. Frankly, my sources on the Inside Scoop are all reporting bad things the government is doing, and I keep them secret because I understand that their jobs are at risk. But the President of the United States doesn't need to give leaks. The President of the United States, if he wants to say something, he's got a bully pulpit, right? He can get before all those cameras. He can say whatever he wants. He can even call those opposed to the war traitors, and it'll get reported, as awful as that is. When the President of the United States feels he needs to do a leak, feels he needs to sneak something through, you know there's something fishy there. And we know, let's be clear, in this whole investigation, we know that someone at the White House outed a USA spy, an American CIA spy, for political purposes. And for all the discussion of whether Scooter Libby committed perjury or obstruction of justice or whatever he did, here's what we know. We know that Cheney met with Scooter Libby, and we know that nobody knew outside the CIA that this woman was working hard on behalf of her country to protect us from weapons of mass destruction. She was a CIA operative. Nobody knew until Scooter Libby and Karl Rove got on the phone and started calling all these reporters. So you can argue over the niceties of the law if you want, but let there be no doubt that this is an administration that has committed treason. They have acted against the United States, against their country. They have destroyed our assets, our spies. Remember, back in the intelligence, the whole problem was we had all this satellite information. We didn't have spies on the ground. Well, we had one in Valerie Plame Wilson, and she was working hard to do what the administration says they care about. Stopping weapons of mass destruction. She was working on it, and they outed her for some political reason. And that's treason. And I agree with the caller. There's a huge difference between what Bob Woodward is doing today and what he did 30 years ago in Watergate. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back with discussion of PBS right after this.
If you have more than $7,500 in credit card debt, listen to these shocking facts. Debt can ruin your life. A great number of all marriages end in divorce due to financial problems. Many American families are only a few paychecks away from bankruptcy. There are secret programs that credit card companies don't want you to know about that will eliminate your debt. If you are drowning in credit card debt, there is a way out. Debt Relief of America can negotiate directly with your creditors to eliminate up to 60% of your credit card debt. Learn how to avoid bankruptcy and get more cash in your pocket. Call Debt Relief of America for a free debt analysis by one of their debt relief specialists. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264. For your free information, call now. 800-936-1264. 800-936-1264.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. A story that I think got far too little press in the media this week is the report on the former chairman of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, Ken Tomlinson. Now, the reason he's the former chairman is because, well, they gave him the report and he stepped down. I wonder if there's a connection. Well, let's see what the report says. It's a report by the Inspector General of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And it says that Ken Tomlinson, the chairman, threatened to withhold federal funds from PBS if it did not include more conservatives. He hired lobbyists, consultants, and two ombudsmen without the board's knowledge or approval. And he used political tests in order to recruit a former co-chair of the Republican National Committee as its president. So here's what he did. He said that there needed to be more balance in PBS. Now, the report also showed, by the way, that PBS, as required by law, actually didn't favor liberals or conservatives. I know there are people that think it does, but I think what they're doing is they're comparing PBS, which is neutral politically, with things like the Fox Propaganda Channel, which if you've seen the movie Outfoxed, or if you've listened to the director of Outfoxed, to Robert Grunwald, who came on my show, which is in the broadcast archive, you know that that is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican Party. The Fox Propaganda News is the same as Karl Rove, and so it puts out their propaganda. So that makes PBS maybe look liberal, when really it's just trying to tell the truth. Well, the report found that Tomlinson was working with Karl Rove. In other words, and this is really important, it's gotten such little press, this wasn't a Republican on his own trying to change PBS, trying to make it support the Bush administration. He worked with the White House. He exchanged emails with none other than Karl Rove. And what did he do? He hires the former head of the Republican National Committee to be the president and chief executive of PBS. I mean, think about how brazen this is. Okay, let's say that we put Howard Dean in charge of PBS. You think that the Republicans would care? Well, they shouldn't care, right? Howard Dean will be fair and balanced. I mean, imagine if Bill Clinton put Howard Dean as the head of PBS, or Hillary Clinton, President Hillary Clinton did that. Can you imagine the Republicans taking it lightly? But this has gotten virtually no press. And guess who's still chairman at PBS? Patricia Harrison is still there. Yes, Tomlinson's gone because he broke the law to put Harrison there, but Harrison still hasn't resigned. And there's a problem. You see, you might say, well, okay, I don't like this. I don't like that Sesame Street is now going to suddenly talk about the war and how Democrats are cowards. I don't like that. But, you know, it's the board, it's the president, he can control it and do what he wants. No, it's not true. The law that set up PBS way back in the 60s That law prohibits anyone on the board from making programming decisions. In fact, the whole point of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is to insulate PBS so that it is not making political decisions. Indeed, according to the Inspector General, the former chief executive, before Harrison was put there, a woman by the name of Kathleen Cox, did not tell the board that Tomlinson was secretly sneaking all these people with a Republican agenda onto PBS programs. She said she tried to do it, but Tomlinson threatened to punish her. And finally, Tomlinson paid her $610,000, three times her salary, to shut her up in a severance package that also, by the way, folks, was not proposed to the board of PBS. So Bush crony breaks the law and tries to instill Republicans. That's nothing new. What is new, I think, is the fact that not only did he coordinate with Karl Rove, even that's not so new. We know that Swift Boat Liars and all those things were coordinated with Karl Rove. To me, what's interesting is how little press this has received. Here you have the President of the United States, the guy running the presidency, Karl Rove. Karl Rove is deliberately trying to take an American institution, PBS, and change it into a propaganda channel. The guy is found to break the law, has to quit because of it, and it gets what? In the Washington Post, I have it here, page C8. This is a big deal, folks. Why hasn't anyone noticed it? 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We've got some callers on the line. We will get to you as soon as we get back. You can also comment on the blog at RadioInsideScoop.com. When we come back, I want to talk about, well, whatever you want to talk about, and also about civil rights. Why is it that this administration feels that white folk in America are being unduly oppressed?
This is Newsbreak. In response to critics of the Iraq War, President Bush said that prematurely withdrawing forces from the Gulf state would have terrible consequences. He spoke during his visit to Beijing today. Earlier, President Bush met with Chinese President Hu Jintao and discussed religious freedom, trade issues, and ending piracy of American intellectual property. Israel's government is perhaps on the verge of a major change after a vote by Israel's Labor Party. The party has voted to quit the coalition government of Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon ahead of early elections. Fox News is reporting that terrorist leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi may be among those terrorists killed in a U.S. military raid on a house that eight terrorists died in. And several people have been wounded in a mall shooting in Tacoma, Washington. Officials say at least six people have been transported from the Tacoma Mall to area hospitals after allegedly being shot by a man who apparently opened fire around midday. More news at USARadio.com. I'm Jack DeRate.
For the NASD Money Minute, I'm Randy Gardner. After the stock market's downturn in 2001, many investors turned to the bond market for more stable investments. Baby boomers preparing for retirement are doing the same. Today, two out of three corporate bond transactions are carried out by individual investors. But do they know what they're doing? Robert Glauber is chairman of NASD, the private sector securities regulator.
Our research shows that investors know far too little about how bonds and bond markets work. The majority of investors don't understand the fundamentals.
To help investors navigate the bond market, NASD has launched a comprehensive online Smart Bond Learning Center. To help investors gauge how their own bond portfolios are performing, NASD and Bloomberg have developed the first daily corporate bond indexes aimed at retail investors, which cover investment grade and high yield bonds. And to make the bond market completely transparent, NASD posts all over-the-counter corporate bond transactions on its website in real-time, free of charge. For more information, visit NASD.
I'm Terry Graydon with our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
Green tea has a reputation for being a health drink. Now, researchers at the University of South Florida have found that an ingredient in green tea called EGCG, epigallocatechin gallate, may combat the pathological changes found in Alzheimer's disease. The mouse study found that EGCG seemed to reduce the amount of beta amyloid formed in the brain and diminish plaque formation. It would take quite a lot of green tea to provide humans with an amount of ECGC equivalent to the dose given to the mice, But this research opens the door for some interesting new approaches to preventing this devastating disease. This is Joe Graydon and the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is the Sunday Weekly Review, 877-528-TALK. We've got Don from San Diego. Don, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Don, you're on the line. Last try. Don from San Diego, are you there? We lost our caller, Don. That's too bad. I want to move on. All topics are valid, of course. The toll-free number is 877-528-TALK. I've been talking a lot about the Iraqi War. I talked about PBS. Now I want to mention civil rights, because it seems that civil rights is not exactly a priority of this administration. It's not just that, oh, they ignored poor black people in when Hurricane Katrina came along. It also has to do with civil rights enforcement. This Justice Department, it's interesting, just there. If you look at their cases throughout the Clinton administration, they had about 75 criminal cases a year punishing people who were denying people civil rights. A lot of times these are voting issues where blacks, are, for example, are denied a reasonable access to get to the polls. Perhaps the clearest example would be in the case of Georgia, where there was a voter plan where the Georgia legislature passed a plan that would require photo IDs. They would require everyone who wants to vote to pay a fee, right, $20, to be able to vote. Some might call that a poll tax, which is expressly unconstitutional. $20 to get your photo taken. And they provided these centers all around rural Georgia, but they just didn't happen to get around to any in Atlanta. Atlanta, of course, is the capital of Georgia, by far the largest city in Georgia, and there also has to be a large African-American population there. So if African-Americans want to vote, and they live in the city of Atlanta, and they take public transportation, so they don't have a driver's license, they're required somehow to get to some city outside of Atlanta and get one of these photo IDs and pay for it. Pay $20 for it. Now, back during the Jim Crow era, of course, whites kept blacks out through all kinds of things. Literacy tests was one of them, but one of them was poll taxes. They would require blacks to pay a fee if they wanted to vote. Until finally, the practice became so onerous that a constitutional amendment was passed in the 1960s. It even passed the South. It got three-quarters of the states, as is required, prohibiting any poll tax. You cannot charge a voter to vote in the United States of America. And that's exactly what Georgia proclaimed to do. And I'm not so much talking about the Georgia legislature that was clearly trying to prevent blacks from voting. I'm angry at the Justice Department. The U.S. Justice Department examined the Georgia plan, and the local officials there, the career officials, the civil servants who worked at Justice for a long time, they analyzed it and said, of course this is against the Voting Rights Act. Heck, the plan is unconstitutional because it has a poll tax, but of course it's against the famous 1964 Civil Rights Act that allowed blacks to vote. One of the main reasons why blacks can vote today in overwhelming numbers. The Justice Department overruled them. They took the 51-page memo and they threw it out. It had been endorsed by four of the five members of the legal team, and they threw it out by the senior officials. Why? We know why. Because blacks have the audacity not to vote for Republicans. And if you're not going to vote for Republicans, the Justice Department is saying, you shouldn't be able to vote at all. After all, voting only matters if you vote for our guy. This has been true, by the way, not just with Georgia, but throughout the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. There's no wonder that the attrition has been severe. Lawyer after lawyer who worked there for years is leaving at a higher rate than ever before. And they're mad because the politicos that are taking over are making the employment decisions, and they're hiring people who, frankly, don't care about civil rights. Now, you know, if you don't care about civil rights, why are you working in the Civil Rights Division? If you don't want civil rights, you know, the president should just shut it down. But in all of the Bush administration, okay, there have been three cases filed under the Voting Rights Act, and none of them, not a single one, has been for discrimination against blacks. Indeed, the first one was for a majority black county in Mississippi accused of discriminating against white voters. Now, I don't know the circumstances of that case. Maybe the majority black county was discriminating against white voters. If so, that should be stopped. But do you really think in the United States of America, the only severe case of discrimination left is to white voters? That the only racism left in America is against whites? Blacks, they've got it good. Blacks are living high on the hog. Blacks have no problem voting in America. But white votes, yes, those are the people we have to protect against racism. Well, apparently the Bush administration does, because whereas the Clinton administration would file some 75 cases a year, non-immigration cases relating to civil rights, the Bush administration is down to about 15. Toll-free number 877-528-TALK. Let's go to Leanne in San Diego. Leanne, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, how are you?
I'm
I love
good.
Your show. I listen every week.
Thank you, Leanne.
I just want to say, of all the things, I'm 48 years old, of all the things in my whole life that I've witnessed as an American to be extremely sad about nowadays is our media, that it's been taken over by the Republican Party. And I just want to say that it scares me to death. There is no more media. When you take the media away and you poison it the way it has been, then you're really not living in a democracy. And I want to give you an example. I was with a Republican friend this morning who's about 10 years younger than me watching Wolf Blitzer, and they had two CIA agents debating the Valerie Plame issue.
Yeah.
And his response to me was, well, he says one thing, and the other CIA agent says the other, so what are we supposed to believe? And I said, that is the point of a democracy. This is the way it's supposed to be on television, where you get two opposing views, and you, the viewer, are supposed to decide who you think is right.
Oh, but Leanne, that's too much work.
They're putting too many opinions on television. They should just put one idea on, and that's the way it should be.
Leanne, it's too much work to use critical thinking, to think for yourself. It's so much easier.
People nowadays are beginning to think, because in the last 7 years since Bush has been in, we have been just been getting one point of view. And young people especially, they don't even know what a democracy is about, and that scares me.
It's so much easier if people just tell you what to think. You know, one of my favorite Doonesbury cartoons, and I've had this in my refrigerator for years. I don't even know how old it is. It's probably 10 years old. One of my favorite Doonesbury cartoons is they have a professor, and the professor is explaining how, that's how, the government manipulated to get us into war, and the students are quietly writing everything down. And then he says, and that's why unicorns really exist, and the students are writing it down. And then he says, black is white, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. And the students are quietly writing it down. And then he says, democracy is dead, and lays his head down on the desk. And one of the students looks to his other and says, wow, this is really an interesting class. The other kid says, yeah, I didn't know half this stuff. But that's exactly the kind of democracy I'm afraid we're getting. And when you see that PBS, Big Bird, Sesame Street, is trying to be politicized by this administration, I tell you who it reminds me of. It reminds me of none other than Saddam Hussein.
Exactly.
Then communism.
And
dictatorship.
And they had Bush on this morning saying, preaching to the Chinese that they should be scolded for not being allowing to bring opposing views. It just made me get a sick feeling in my stomach, like that is what we have become under Bush. He is like a dictator, and people are afraid to speak out, and the young people are now being brainwashed by this Republican Party that is, I'm sorry, but it's like a fascist government, and it has to be stopped.
Well,
and one last point I want to make is,
you
guys want to talk about the war and how bad it is and how much deception there is in government right now. I'm telling you, the only way people are going to change is when it hurts them personally, and when they can't go to the mall and they can't put gas in their cars, because Americans, in my opinion, are very lazy and they're very, very self-centered. When it hurts them personally, when they lose their jobs, like they did under Bush 1, and the economy takes a real dump and turns south, that's when they'll change. But the way it is right now, Bush has got the economy inflated because he's got this pseudo-war going on. It's not going to change.
Well, Leanne, let me put a silver lining on your cloud. I think Americans are starting to get it. When I began my show by saying after 2.5 years the Iraq War is over, a solid majority of Americans, it's more than 60% now, believe the Iraq War was not worth fighting, including 50% who strongly believe it. The amount of Americans who believe it was worth fighting is less than 40%, strongly worth fighting less than 25%. Americans are starting to get it, which is why I said the deadline for us in Iraq is around the corner. It's November 2006. Everyone knows that election's here. And even if the Republicans have to lie to us, as Richard Nixon did, saying in 1972 that he had a secret plan to end the war, and even the fact that they feel like they have to lie to us to tell us that they're trying to get us out tells me that the end is around the corner. So I see a silver lining. I see it in Bush's opinion polls, where his approval rating is at about 36% and dropping further.
I agree with you, but isn't it sad that we've been through this already in Vietnam?
Yeah.
We have been through this already, and none of us have learned. All these people never learned the first thing about that poor situation that we were in, that we made the same exact mistake 30 years later. I think that is pathetic. As a nation, we claim to be this bright, and we're intelligent, and we're smart, and we're so much better. And you know what? We made the same damn mistake we did as Vietnam.
Well, as George Santayana said, those who forget history are condemned to repeat it. I think we have forgotten Vietnam.
Well, we are, and we're condemned to repeat it. And, you know, as a people, we should really be ashamed of ourselves, because 2,100 men are dead as a result.
That's true.
And I'm not
men and women.
Because I was against the war. I never voted for Bush. And from day one, I knew it was just a big, big bogus mistake.
Well, more and more Americans are coming to realize your view, and my fear is that we're going to lose another 1,000 American lives before we get out.
And you know what else? I just want to say this last thing.
Go right ahead.
The blood of those men are on the hands of every Republican that voted him in the second time and the first time, and still who support him. My slate's free, but the people that still support him, every man that dies, the blood is on their hands. And I hope all the Republicans that are listening to this show right now can go to bed thinking about that.
I hear you, Leanne. Thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
Toll-free number 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back after this.
There are times and occasions when only roses will do. Roses247.com searches rose growers all over the world for the season's very best and most special roses at the most reasonable prices. For this week's greatest selection of fresh, beautifully cultivated roses, chosen to convey just exactly the sentiment you want to express, get online to www.roses247.com. We've done all the screening and shopping for you. It's fast, easy, and safe to order online, just as hundreds of thousands do all the time. So for birthdays, anniversaries, special remembrances, or just to say you are very much loved, type in roses247.com. We're open around the clock at roses247.com. Roses say it best.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, one of the best shows television ever offered. Now you can travel again with Marlon Perkins to the farthest reaches of the globe and study wild animals in their natural habitats. The Emmy Award-winning Wild Kingdom, now available on DVD. Order online at RetroTelevision.com and get 20 full-length episodes for $29.99. You'll see gorillas, elephants, giraffes, zebras, hippos, and more. Also memorable, 3 episodes featuring legendary primate researcher Diana Fossey from Gorillas in the Mist. 20 episodes of Wild Kingdom on DVD for $29.99. Go to RetroTelevision.com, or if you forget, log on to www.TalkStarRadio.com and check out our video store. Save $10 on Wild Kingdom now at RetroTelevision.com. From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Toll-free number 877-528-TALK. We had lost Don, but apparently we have him back. Don, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. Great talking to you. Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
I'm a former U.S. Marine.
Okay.
And I was glad that this, but I'm liberal, and this Hawk Marine colonel of 30 years or more experience
Jack
came
Murtha.
Out and said that it's time for us to get out of Iraq. You know, I have always believed that not one of our, by the way, the young lady who was just on mentioned our men who have died, the men and women who have died and are still dying, but to me, not one of their lives is worth getting doing what we're supposedly doing over in Iraq. While we're over there killing men, women, and children, every time they bomb one of those homes and they say that these are terrorists, they don't mention the fact that there are women and children in these homes, and they don't seem to give a damn about how many innocent civilians that we're killing in the name of democracy and so on.
And then we wonder why the people are upset at us.
That's right. And as far as PBS and NPR is concerned, that was the only fair and balanced information that we had in this country. And then Fox came in and called themselves fair and balanced. And they never were fair and balanced. But PBS was the only fair and balanced that we had. And even then, they were infiltrating them over the last 10 or 15 years because they were always threatening to take their funding away in order to try to tone them down and get them more. See, American people have been so brainwashed that they think that anything that comes truthfulness sounds left-wing to them because they've been flooded with. Now, as far as Bill Moyers, this Tomlinson, when he came in, he pressured Bill Moyers so terribly that they got rid of the hour-long show of Bill Moyers, which was called Now, which was, among other things, they had a documentary called Now on New Orleans levees a few months ago when Bill Moyers was in charge that said that there was going to be a potential disaster of the levees. And when the disaster occurred, nobody referred back to the fact that PBS had aired a documentary by Bill Moyers stating that the levees were going to blow up if we didn't do something about it.
I'd say, Don,
months ago.
It's a good point. I mentioned, in fact, that the New Orleans newspapers had, for several years in a 9-part series, predicted they were going to blow. The weather officials in the government had reported that, but you're absolutely right. Bill Moyers did a report as well. And to me, it's typical of this Republican thinking that, oh, no, the fact that Bill Moyers mentioned that the levees couldn't withstand a flood, that means that they're helping the liberals instead of helping the American people.
He said that Bill Moyers was too liberal, and everything that on the other side they consider too liberal. And the thing that I'm worried about is the fact that these criminals who have taken over the elections in this country, I don't know, they're Nazis who have taken over, so I don't know how we're going to ever get it back, because unless the American people overwhelmingly vote these Republicans out, these Republicans are all kowtowing to the right-wing conservative, Christian, so-called Christian conservatives, and I don't know how we're going to get rid of them.
Well, Don, I'll tell you, I don't know that I'd call them Nazis, but you're all right, they are kowtowing to the Christian conservatives, and the answer is exactly what you said. We have to win overwhelmingly. We have to win beyond the margin of cheating, beyond the margin of litigation, beyond the margin of gerrymandering. We might need 55, we might need 60% of the vote, but to me, that's not out of the question. We can get 55, we can get 60% of the vote. Remember, only 36% of Americans still support this president, and it's going down. And I think people are starting to realize that the fair and balanced talk is like 1984, George Orwell's book, but it's not really fair and balanced out there.
That's right. But see, a lot of these young people, that was 30 years ago when we went through Vietnam. And these young people, you know, who are here now, they don't know how many lies, the same lies.
Don, it's all good points. We have to take a break. I'm sorry. We have to take a break. But you're absolutely right. And people are finally learning now what they should have learned 30 years ago. We'll be right back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
There are a lot of people out there making claims of miracle cures for this or that, but they're usually anonymous. Margie Garrison, who they call the arthritis lady, gives you her name and tells you her story. In July 1979, Margie was amazed when her doctor uttered the words, "Arthritis is the easiest disease there is to cure." What a difference from what she'd heard for 43 years, that there was no cure for arthritis. We don't have time here, but to learn the secret Margie learned, get to a computer and log on to HealthStarProducts.com. It's guaranteed or your money back, and you have a full year to decide. Look it up for yourself online at HealthStarProducts.com. HealthStar, H-E-A-L-T-H, HealthStarProducts.com.
Do you sell dietary supplements? If so, you may know that the Food and Drug Administration and the Federal Trade Commission regulate your sales presentations. Violation of the federal rules can lead to stiff penalties. You really must know the law. Fortunately, help is just a phone call away. Law Talk Incorporated has produced a CD series, 4-CD interviews with renowned attorney Jonathan W. Emord that explain the legal limits on sales presentations. The CD series guides you through FDA and FTC regulation, explaining the law that governs sales presentations, website content, and health claims, as well as global restrictions on supplement sales. This is a must-buy for network marketers and supplement companies alike. To obtain the CD series, call 1-888-RU-FREE-1. 1-888-RU-FREE-1. That's 1-888-783-7331. Call today.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left in the Sunday Weekly Review. Let's go to our last caller here, Armando. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Armando, are you there? I guess Armando is gone. Oh, no. Is he there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, there you go. Welcome, Armando. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to talk about the fuel prices.
Okay.
Basically, I work for an airline, Northwest Airlines, who just filed bankruptcy back in September.
Yeah.
And then their CEO, Steenland, I guess he's accepted $4.5 million of compensation for his pension and things like that.
Yeah, don't you love it how these executives drive airlines into bankruptcy and apparently should be rewarded millions of dollars? You know, I will drive an airline to bankruptcy for a mere $500,000. What do you think? It's a bargain.
I would do it, too, if I were you.
I mean, if you want to drive a country to bankruptcy, I figure, you know, hey, I think I could do that with hardly any pay at all. But
okay,
go ahead. Make
too,
your
but
point.
But see, the people, he screwed the stockholders.
As usual, as okay. Most CEOs do these days.
Okay, and back a couple years ago, Steenland, I don't know if he was on board with Northwest, but they pulled a mini Enron on all Northwest employees when the unions and us were negotiating. Our stock was at $60-something dollars.
Yeah.
And then it came down.
Yeah,
they screwed the stockholders, whoever was in power then. I'd have to look in the computer and old paperwork to find out who it was.
So what's your point on fuel prices?
Well, the fuel prices is the reason why we're losing money. They say that it's rising. But what I'm trying to say is they want to outsource a lot of our jobs.
Right.
They want to get rid of us, but the public doesn't really know what's really going on behind closed doors. I work inside. I know everything that goes on inside.
So
I mean,
tell us
I'm
the inside scoop.
In San Diego. And we tried to hire two contractors from another airline just a couple months ago, and they went for testing in Minnesota. One had a felony on his record, so Northwest did not hire him. The second guy didn't pass his drug test. He's probably smoking pot. I still see him on the airport.
So what's the deal? Why are they hiring incompetent people?
Well, the contractors that are trying to take our jobs away, okay, they're the ones that don't do actual screening correctly. And in the future, in some cities, I'm sure they do fly. I mean, I'm sure in some cities, like Los Angeles and other
so
cities...
So it's outsourcing that's the problem? We only got a few seconds left. That's why I got to ask you to wrap up, Armando. Give me the 20 seconds, what it is that they're doing wrong.
I don't think they screen the people correctly when they hire.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if some of these airlines do succeed in it, then people who will check in, your bags will probably be, you know, opened up. and there's people that are going to be probably on drugs and probably have felonies. But I'll try to call you later on next week or the following week. This is the third time that I finally got on your show.
Okay. Well, let me give some advice to you, Armando, and to anyone who wants to call on the show. The earlier you call in, the more likely you are to be on the air. When you come in at the end of the last 2 hours, I just have to cut you off because the show's about over. But I want to thank you for your call, and I hope you do call in future weeks.
Oh,
all right?
I will. I promise you.
All right. You take care.
Thank you.
To conclude, I want to tell a story of two senators. Senator John McCain and Senator Bob Graham. Both well-known senators, both senators who run for president, McCain of Arizona, Republican, Graham of Florida. And I want to talk about the Iraq War, just to close. Senator McCain, I don't doubt, is an honest man. I've never disputed that. Unlike the current president, John McCain is a Republican that I respect. But I respectfully suggest he's absolutely wrong on the war. John McCain continues to this day to defend the Iraqi war. He continues to this day to suggest that for some reason that I still can't understand, and I'd love to have John McCain on the show and ask him, somehow fighting this 7th, 8th, 9th order priority Saddam Hussein was more important than going after the real threats to the nation in countries like Saudi.